It is wonderful to see you all here. And just as we've been praying hope for our nation, praying hope for our community, praying hope for people literally around the world, praying hope for people that are in this room. For some of you, I'm sure that as you come today, you're in that situation where you desire for something to change. You desire for there to be hope in your life where maybe you feel a little bit hopeless. I just want you to know that you're in the right place today. So really glad that you're here. Personally, I feel a little tired. I lost an hour of sleep last night. Yeah. You know what? I don't know where it went. But I just know that my wife said to me as I looked over at the clock, it said, you know, whatever it was, 5:30 or whatever, and she said, well, you know, really it is 6:30, and then just sort of, it's time for you to get up. So I don't appreciate that at all. And so I come this morning with just, you know, I'm a little bit irritable, and you just have to, sorry about that. Not really. And then, so the other thing is that I feel kind of bad this week because, well, winter's come back. For those of you who like winter, I'm sure that you're glad that it's back, but I'm not. I planted some tomatoes. This is really strange, but I planted some tomatoes a couple weeks ago, and they're sitting really, really nicely up on our second floor, and they've been enjoying the sun. And then I went in there a couple days ago, and then many of them are dead. And so it's a tough morning for me this morning. So I just want to get that off my chest. Some of you say, well, you know, if you really understand tomatoes and stuff, you shouldn't have planted those so early. I know, okay? I know now. So anyways, the next experiment will be is to put more seeds in and see how they do once it warms up a little bit in a couple weeks. So really glad you're here. We are continuing our series, Living Well, and we've been studying in the book of Philippians. What a great book, isn't it, don't you think? I've loved researching. I've loved working on this to a greater degree. And today we're looking at verses 6 through 9. That was read for us earlier. Oh, and by the way, we welcome those of you who are joining us online too. And I hear from you often throughout the week when you write emails and stuff. Just so that glad that you're joining us today. So today we're talking about, it says strategic living, we're really talking about peace. This passage is really talking about peace in our lives. When does the peace of God rule in your heart? The answer to that is that the peace of God rules in your heart first when we reject anxieties and ungodly fears. When we reject anxieties and ungodly fears. Paul says in order for us to have peace that dwells in our hearts and our minds, we must begin to reject fears and anxieties that steal our peace. We miss the peace of God when we harbor fear of the past, of the present, and of the future. We start thinking too much about the past, the present, and we begin to worry about the future. And that robs us of the peace that we can have today. Paul told his congregation in Philippi to be anxious for nothing. You know, when I say that, I'm aware that probably the level of anxiety is probably at the highest it's been in a long, long time, especially as we have come through what we've come through, all the challenges that we've faced, our young families that have faced challenges during all of the time of lockdown and all those things that happened there. There's this great sense of anxiety about the things that are happening in our world. Apostle Paul is telling the congregation in Philippi under a little different circumstances, he says, be anxious for nothing. Even as followers of Jesus, we can be anxious, can't we? And this morning as you come, maybe you find yourself in that place where you feel riddled with anxiety. Let me think about that just for a minute. Would it be rational for the daughter of a billionaire to run around afraid of not having enough food to eat? How much more ridiculous for a child of God to live in anxiety or fear? Not that we are condemning anxiety. It's very real, and I know for one that it can be very real. I've experienced that myself. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said about the graciousness of the Father. He says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So in behind all of these things, God the Father is ready to assist. Paul says, if God sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins, if God gave the very best for you and his son, how much more is he not graciously give to you all things? He's already given us his best, and he wants to continue to give us his best. We're going to talk about, when we think about anxiety, it's not so much about the present reality of that which many of us know, it's very true, and for some of us it can be paralyzing. We want to talk about ways that we can move beyond that. The one who wants to provide those things, won't he take care of you, help provide food for you to eat and clothes on your back and a job for the future? Won't he make everything work for your good, even in the horrible situations? There are a few things that we fear. The first one is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. Christians are robbed of God's peace because they're afraid to fail. They're afraid to step out. They're anxious to step out. The fear of failure rules instead of God ruling in our heart. The Israelites scouted the promised land, as you remember, part of my reading these days. I'm getting a bit of an echo up here. The reading through the Old Testament, and how as they moved forward and God was getting them ready to go in and take the promised land, and he sent them forward and they went there and they saw, and yet they were fearful that they would fail because they looked so much more like giants than the Israelites did. They said the giants were too big. They chose not to let the peace of Christ, the peace of God, rule in their heart. They feared failure. The second one is the fear of people. Many believers are robbed of God's peace because of fear of what others will think or say or do. They're constantly worried about how others feel about them. Now, I don't know about you, whether how many of you have that as an issue in your heart, whether this is something that you work through or this is something that you deal with, but this is something that I work with. This is something that I deal with. This is something that I try to work through. And that is, another way of saying it is being a people pleaser. That is something that I struggle with. And when I do that, I'm more concerned about what other people think at times than what God thinks. Fear of people. There's also the fear of the future. Many people are, believers are robbed of God's peace because of the fear of the future. Many people worry about what's next. There is this liberation that happens in us when we say God is in control. And I know that we're just around the corner. I know that I don't know exactly what's happening, but I know the one that is able to help lead me. He's the one that has brought us this far, and he is the one that takes us into the future. There's the fear of the future. The peace of God rules in your heart when we live in an atmosphere of prayer. It's the second one. He tells us not to be anxious about anything. Sometimes easier said than done, right? Paul says, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. One of the reasons why anxiety doesn't rule in our hearts is because we put God first. We put him at the beginning. We say that he is Lord of everything. We don't Part of the reason why we don't experience this is because there are those times when we don't live in an atmosphere of prayer. We relegate it to when the pastor prays or when someone else prays, and let the pastor do the heavy lifting, or we let other people do the heavy lifting, and prayer isn't a regular part of our lives. What was discovered when we as a church were working through strategic plan, where is it that the church needs to go in the future? This was the number one thing. That we as individuals would learn better how to be people of prayer. That we would learn better as a church how we can pray collectively for those individuals that are around us. We would learn from God's word how to be prayer warriors. That is part of what this church believes. Part of its DNA is that we would be a people of prayer. We need to learn how to bring prayers before God throughout the day. Not just at the end of the day, not just when you stop for food, not just when you start your day, but throughout the day, there is this element of prayer. There is being in this element of being so close to God in those times that it's just like you're talking to the person that's next to you. Paul names three types of prayers in this passage. There's prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. This prayer seems to refer to special times of prayer that we share in periods of devotion and worship. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, if the peace of God is going to rule in our hearts, we must constantly worship God throughout the day. That prayer is not necessarily a formal time of when we're on our knees praying. That may be the posture that you take. But it's throughout the day, this regular conversation, when you're having a conversation with God. The second part of the prayer is thanksgiving. For some, the reason we cannot have peace is because we are constantly complaining and arguing whenever something bad happens. Does that happen to you? Immediately go to the negative. Immediately go to complaining. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Some of us, our natural bent is to go in that direction of being negative. It's a natural bent to go to that space. The Apostle Paul is saying, if you want peace in your heart, then you're going to have to remove that from your life, and you're going to need to ask God to work in your heart. Sometimes we don't even thank God when good things happen. Not even in advance thanking him for the fact that he's going to do something, but after he's shown up and he's done something magnificent and wonderful, we neglect to thank him. Often we find ourselves, I think there are times when we ourselves are a thankless people. We are a thankless people. And we need to be more thankful. Finally, he says we must give petitions, which means bringing our requests before God. Some of the things that you see happen on a Sunday morning in our worship time is something that we encourage you as a congregation, you as individuals, to pick up and take those very same things and bring them home and bring these into your own home environment to help you to worship God. One of the challenges that I felt immensely was that when our church went into lockdown and there was only just us preaching to a screen, was the fear of what would happen. We say fear. The fear of what would happen to Christ Church when we didn't assemble like this. What would happen? Would the sheep scatter? Would the church scatter? Would you know enough of what you needed to do to go down deep as opposed to being just separated? And what you've shown during this time is that God allowed you to go deeper and encouraged you and helped you to continue to grow even during a very adverse and challenging time. So you showed during that time of what it meant to go deep. So what we do on a Sunday morning is to encourage you to grow in your spiritual walk individually. How important that is. One of the things, you know, we were talking about this week, the amount of time that we take to do announcements. And part of the challenge is that there are times when we'll talk to somebody and we'll say there's some event. I know this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but it was tomatoes. And then, so we were talking about our staff, and there's, you know, they talk about something, and then somebody goes, well, I had no idea that you're having that pancake breakfast. Like, what are you talking about? We've only been announcing it for the last 7 weeks. Where have you been? And part of it is that what we talk about up here in terms of our announcements ultimately are part of our strategic plan. We try not to do things or to have things put into our Sunday morning announcement time that are not part of what's important for us and part of the DNA of our church. There's fellowship portions, and there's prayer, and there's growth, and there's evangelism, and there's all of these pieces that come together. This is what our church is doing to help expand the gospel for Jesus Christ, to tell the good news. Everything has a purpose. You may wonder, like, why would he even talk about tomatoes? I have no idea. Everything has a purpose in moving the church forward. So what we do here is helping us to grow and to help you in your own times of worship. We must move along. Third thing, peace of God rules in your heart when we practice thinking on righteous things. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I love this particular section. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul gives two requirements to experience the God of peace: righteous thinking and righteous practice. We can be sure that wherever the God of peace is, there's going to be peace. His peace is going to be there as well. Paul says that when a believer thinks ungodly things, it will result in the God of peace being with them. God keeps us in perfect peace when we have our minds that are stayed on him. We're thinking towards him. We are thinking ahead. We are thinking on righteous things. Now, that's not the power of positive thinking. There has been a lot said about that over the course of some time. It's not the power of positive thinking. It is acknowledging that God is God and trusting him in all things, to meditate on his will. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God above. Our jobs, our food, our relationships are reminders of the giver as we think about him. There was a time when I used to ride a motorcycle. There's a purpose for this. One of the things that they taught us when we were turning a corner on a motorcycle is to look ahead. Is to look up around, is to actually look up and around the corner. And the reason for that is that if you look too close, the chances are you're going in the ditch and you're gonna, it's bad. You don't want to do that. It's to look ahead. It's to look forward. There's something about this when we think about God and relationship, is the fact that when we think upon him, he helps to bring peace into our life. That whole section speaking about that is so important. Finally, when we practice, we will have peace in our hearts when we practice righteousness. Not only do we hear it, but we practice it. Not only should we think what is right, but we should also practice as well. Paul says in verse 9, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. When we think on what is right and put into practice God's truths, then the peace of God comes towards us and is part of us. It's one thing just to think about it. It's one thing just to hear it. It's another thing to actually live it out. This righteous living. Happiness and joy are the products of an intimate relationship with God and a righteous walk with Him. We experience this all the time. But the opposite is true, that our lives can be miserable and often are miserable when we have sin in our life and we continue to live in that state and we wonder why it is that we don't have peace in our heart. Because when there is this in our heart, we cannot have this right relationship with God. It's like when you, in relationships that we have now, we have these hidden things and we don't talk to those significant others about these things and we wonder why we don't have harmony in our relationship. We cannot have peace until there is this harmony, until we practice what God has given us. Oftentimes, fear can lead us to make irrational decisions. We need to recognize that as children of the King and as children of heaven, we are to practice and to live out what God has called us to. We need to develop a sensitivity to the peace of Christ. Oftentimes, we don't allow for ourselves to be able to live out, to hear what it means to live a righteous life and to live it out, because some of the problem for us is that we think too highly of ourselves and not highly enough about who God is and how God wants to lead us into this new relationship. You're not here by accident today. But God has a divine appointment with each one of you to lead you into that life of peace that He has prepared for you here, now, in this life, and in the life to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this passage of Scripture that's been recorded for us. We thank You for the book of Philippians. We thank You for what Paul recorded, the difference that it makes in our lives. As we come together today, we acknowledge that there are those times in our lives where we feel distant from You. There are times in our lives when our lives would be described as anything but full of peace. And this morning, we just want to help put ourselves in that place. But that really comes by trusting in You. That really comes from calling out to You. That really comes from confessing our need for You. And so, Father, in these moments, as we draw this part of our service to a close and as we move towards our time of communion, I just pray, Father, that you would just really continue to work in our hearts. Because there's some folks that are here this morning, there are some folks that are listening online that they need peace in their life and they've wondered about it. And Lord, this morning You've given us some keys. You've given us some ideas about how we can start to move in that direction. So Lord, if it just even be one thing that we would take today, help us to do that. Help us to live in peace with You. Amen.